Our opening words this morning come to us to remind us of light. It's a poem called The Coming of Light by Mark Strand. Even this late it happens, the coming of love, the coming of light. You wake and the candles are lit as if by themselves. Stars gather, dreams pour into your pillows, sending up warm bouquets of air. Even this late, the bones of the body shine, and tomorrow's dust flares into breath. Today marks the beginning of the celebration of Hanukkah. For those, our Jewish friends and community together, are celebrating 8 nights, or if Adam Sandler were here, so he would say 8 crazy nights. In celebration of Hanukkah, and I'm sure Kevin with his guitar could break into the Hanukkah song at any point, right? It is a beautiful holiday that is focused on light and what it means for those candles to burn so brightly on these 8 nights, what it means historically. It's kind of hard to grasp the concept of candles when we have light at any point in the day when we need it, and we're often feel like our world is falling apart if that electricity is not available to us at any given point. My youngest daughter even said not too long ago to some candle sticks that we had on the table, "What's the point of candles if they don't have a smell?" She kept trying to see what odor they were putting out there, and I told her they were putting out the smoke smell. So. But she was looking for something more around pine tree or gingerbread cookies, which is often what our house smells like this time of year. We light these candles every Sunday, and I just often think, like, what would the impact be if somehow we were able to completely make this sanctuary, this space that we're in, dark, this worship place, and as joys and concerns are shared, candles are lit one by one. What an image that would be of holding together our joys and concerns in community. But you get the point, right? With our windows and fear of the dark, we're never going to do that on a Sunday morning. We might trip over each other. But the candles are a beautiful symbol that dispels darkness, because it doesn't take a whole lot of light if you get it dark enough to realize how powerful a candle's light is and what it can accomplish in the room around you. And thus, Hanukkah is a celebration of that light. You have to go back into history, not too long ago, but a little over 2,000 years ago, in 175 BCE. Antiochus had ascended the throne of the Greco-Syrian Empire, and he chose for himself the name Epiphanes, which means God manifested. He was often referred to as Antiochus Epiphanes, which means the madman. So, he set his sights on conquering Egypt, and he knew that he would have to create cohesion and stability in his own territories in order to do that. Under Alexander the Great, Hellenization was meant to be a progressive movement, leaving room for cultural and diversity and religious diversity. But Antiochus saw all of that as a threat to his agenda, and so he started a campaign entitled "Make Greek Great Again, Greece Great Again." Don't check me on that history. I don't know it was exactly that way. But there were some red hats involved. You can see that in the ancient artwork. One of the groups that stood in the way of his agenda was the Jews. So he replaced the high priest in Jerusalem, Onias, with his brother Joshua, who was loyal to Antiochus, and even changed his name to Jason to demonstrate that loyalty. His hope was to turn Jerusalem into a little version of Antioch. As the people fought back, Antiochus responded. He ordered the slaughtering of 1,000 Jews in the streets. He outlawed Jewish practices and rituals. He robbed the temple of its treasures, and he burned all the copies of the Torah. Then, in an attempt to psychologically demoralize the Jews in Jerusalem, he erected a statue of Zeus in the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar in an act that was called the Abomination of Desolation. Mattathias, a local elder of the priestly class, tried to stand against this madman, but eventually had to flee to the desert. And there he and his five sons, Jonathan, Simon, Judah, Eleazar, and Yohanan, known as the Maccabeans, began to build a core group of farmers and herders who were dedicated to the law of Moses and the practices of their faith. They became an army that fought their way against the Syrian army. 3 years to the day of the Abomination of Desolation, they reclaimed the Temple Mount. They cleaned out the temple area. They recovered copies of the Torah and set up a menorah, the lampstand created by Moses with the seven candles that celebrated the 7 days of creation and the symbol of wisdom. The menorah was fueled by olive oil. And as the Maccabeans set up the temple and prepared for a rededication, they called for an 8-day celebration. In the impoverished temple, they only had enough oil for 1 day. But the miracle that became the basis for Hanukkah is that the candles stayed lit for 8 nights. So try to imagine the lights in the temple being lit after 3 years of desolation. We're actually going to try some empathetic imagination this morning to try to empathize with the Maccabeans and others that were looking at that temple. So I invite you, I know this is going to be hard and difficult to, but this is a stretch for us this morning in empathy. But try to imagine that a narcissistic madman has ascended to the throne in the country that you love and touts a divisive and oppressive agenda that leaves people feeling hopeless and in utter despair. Just try to imagine. I know it's hard. No frame of reference for it, but just try to imagine what that was like. And honestly, try to imagine the experience of watching your colleagues and friends and families, members being slaughtered on the streets for no other reason than being Jewish. Try to imagine a temple being destroyed, a place that was sacred and clean being desolated. And try to imagine that from watching around the temple area and seeing the light burning, that symbol of hope, that symbol of love, that symbol of presence, of something is better on the way, something better is happening for us, and that light just keeps burning. What a miracle of hope. What a miracle to see that sense of despair being dispelled, that darkness being dispelled by a little bit of light. Now, what we don't have to stretch to imagine is what it's like to have that kind of cloud of darkness envelop our lives. For many of us, and we've already talked a little bit about grief this morning during our lighting of candles, and Jane shared an article about grief, particularly grief around the holidays. For many, this time of year that is supposed to be cheery and merry and bright is everything but that. It is a dark season of withdrawing into the shadows. For many of us, the holidays don't necessarily line up with positive things happening in our lives. Many of our members are going through, in this community, are going through some of the most tumultuous experience in their lives. And it's not taking a break because the calendar has moved to December and everyone around us tells us we're supposed to be celebrating. Depression, anxiety, and loneliness are just as abundant during this time of year as the joy and gift-giving and generosity. And so we need, during this extended time of bleakness and cold and the difficulty to grow food that we know as solstice, winter solstice, we need a image, a metaphor of light to struggle against the darkness and famine. And across cultures, including Judaism, but in so many cultures around the world, humanity has created and looked for stories of hope during these cold months. Winter has become a time of year when many religions celebrate birth stories of deities. What a great time to celebrate a birth story in the darkest of times when we need reminders of love and new beginnings. One of the most popular metaphors is this image of light, as we talked about with the kids, from Advent to menorah and many other religious traditions. There's light that fills us with hope. For other traditions, from Horus to Jesus, the symbol of birth is that light that comes into the world. Some find hope through the symbols of nature and celebrating the sun festival, and the sun is observed as it stands still on the horizon, giving us the longest period of day in the year. And for us as Unitarian Universalists, this flaming chalice that we have here this morning is a symbol of the Service Committee and the Universalist Association. Perhaps most importantly, it becomes a focal point for our worship services here today. And this flaming chalice, like our faith, stands open to receive new truths that pass the test of reason and justice and compassion. Now, not too long ago, a couple of decades ago, a UU minister decided we need some kind of ritual in UU because we have let go of a lot of the rituals that we came from in our various religious traditions. And in 2005, Daylene Marshall created the ritual of Chalukah. Like any other holiday, Chalukah is made up to meet a need in a way that other rituals can do in our history. Ritual is a ceremony or an action performed in a prescribed way, and if you think about it, we live life through these rituals and this ritual of light and this holiday season. When it comes to spirituality, rituals are often done with more intention. Joseph Campbell says about ritual that it's an enactment of a myth. So when we light our candles during this season, it is an enactment of a myth, a story that we believe to be true, that light can dispel the darkness. I once heard a story of a professor that entered a classroom and asked his students to prepare for a surprise test. They waited anxiously at their desk for the test to begin, and the professor walked around the class and handed the test with the text facing downwards onto the student's desk. Once he handed all of them out, he asked the students to turn the page over and begin the exam. To everyone's surprise, there were no questions, just a black dot in the center of the page. The professor thoroughly read through everyone's bewildered expressions and said, "I want you to write down a reflection of what you see on the paper." The students paused for a minute and then just began to write. And at the end of the class, the professor took all of their answers and started reading them back aloud for the class to hear. All of them, every student, with no exception, described the black dot in the center of the page. Some described its size, its pattern, its shade. Some of them, math-minded, described other math things that would get Mark and Joseph and others excited that I won't attempt to stumble through this morning. But he said after he read all of those examinations and reflections on the dot, he said, "This was an exercise to encourage you to reflect. Consider that no one wrote about the rest of the sheet of paper. Everyone focused on the small black dot, and so it is in our lives as well. We have a relatively clear paper to hold on to, but sometimes we become so busy contemplating the dark spots in our lives that are present, and we miss the beauty of the changing and the renewing of each day. Too often we allow the dark spots in our lives to pollute our minds and lose all hope." And that is very easy to do, because for some of us, the dot just seems to keep growing bigger and bigger, and it's hard to not garner our attention. And I don't think the professor offered that as a judgment, but a chance to step back and to see something besides the darkness that's in our lives, the opportunity to step back and see the light that can invade our lives as well. And that's why rituals are important, because they call us to the light, helping us regain our balance over and over again and find peace and meaning in the practice of coming together. Imagine if we didn't have this opportunity to come into this place and light candles and share with each other and provide music together and be in conversation and fellowship with each other. Something would be lost. There is a beautiful ritual of coming together. Now, I don't know this congregation's history of celebrating Chalukah or if it's something that's even encouraged in this place. I've gotten mixed reviews, as I've even mentioned it, from, oh, Chalukah, to, Chalukah. So, I don't even know if it's something that's important. But for me, it's provided a great opportunity to think about how can I center myself around a ritual. I grew up as a Christian and lighting an Advent wreath in my home growing up. And that was a beautiful ritual that guided me through the season. It's not there anymore. And for many of us that have parted ways with the religion of our childhood, the rituals that were so important to us that grounded us and kept us balanced are long gone. Chalukah is an opportunity to light 7 candles in your home, to light 7 candles in your worship space, and actually remind ourselves of these 7 principles that draw us together and create balance in a community. It reminds us that we are light. And as a matter of fact, it was lighting some Chalukah candles when my daughter said, "What's the point of this? They don't have a smell." I know, but how about we reflect on the interconnected web of existence? I can't. It doesn't have a smell. So I will tell you now, on Chalukah, we light smelly candles in our home to remind us, because you can't focus on things like social justice without the scent of evergreen in the air. But I do think it's very easy to slip into the abyss of darkness and despair and despondency and think that all is lost, when if you look around in this place, in this group of people, and the light is that is in the life and the lives of these individuals, there's no way that you can say all is lost. We are a burning bright candle in this community. And as we continue through this holiday season, take some time to see the light and feel the warmth of the flames of this congregation and this community. Ground yourself in our principles and our values that draw us together and encourage us, call us to be active in doing the work that we believe is so important. Celebrate your experience of reflecting light in your world around you. The UUCC is a miracle of light.